It's time for Chew on This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Barnewen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I think Kim is having some technical difficulties, so my smaller-than-life, let's say that because I'm taller than her, and there's not many people I can say that about. Melanie's with me today. You there, Melanie?
Yay, I am, of course. So happy to be here. Smaller than life.
Smaller than life. I love it. You're the only person that you have to look up to me, unless I'm on a billboard. I've been on a few billboards, and everybody looked up to me then, so it feels good.
Yikes, your mug on a billboard? Hopefully it's not causing any accidents on the highway,
But I'm let's go to our first chew on. It's thanks to pedometers, Fitbits, and the Apple Watch, there's an obsession with keeping track of how many steps we take per day. 10,000 steps is the magic number we're told is needed to be healthy. Actually, there's not any medical evidence to support this 10,000 steps a day number. It originated in Japan during the 1964 Olympics. Back then, life was less sedentary, diets were less calorie rich, and they ate less animal fat than today. While getting out of your chair and moving is healthy, 10,000 steps isn't the cure-all that many believe. Melanie, you're an exercise physiologist. What's your take on the 10,000 step quota as being the key to optimal health?
I'm so glad that I'm on with you instead of Kim in this particular situation, because I got a Fitbit 2 weeks ago. And I am trying to do my 10,000 steps, but actually on most days I'm trying to do more like 20,000. Right. No, it is not supposed to be the optimal, but the American College of Sports Medicine do recommend at least. See, here's what I think is the big difference, Dr. Friedman, is that it may not be the source of all health, but I think they're saying if you can get at least that, whether you're getting them by cleaning the house and doing laundry or going on a treadmill or going out for a walk, I think they're saying this is the minimum, because anything much less than that and you're not keeping your metabolism up and your body's not going to burn a lot.
Exactly.
And I'm digging my Fitbit. So, I mean, this is what I've only done like 3,000 today, but I'll plan on getting my at least hopefully 15 to 20. I think it's not that 10,000, I think it's the minimum, and that they're just trying to get people in our fat nation up and moving around.
Right. You know, here's my concern, Melanie. I have a patient who makes sure she gets her 10,000 steps per day, but then she eats hamburgers and french fries for lunch.
Well, of course.
She's obsessed with tracking her steps. Here's the problem. She's not a bit concerned with tracking her calories she eats, and it takes walking 8 miles at a brisk pace to burn off calories from one donut.
So, well, consider, she can track her stuff on Fitbit, too. She can track her calories, and that's what I think people are missing. They're missing calories in, calories out.
Well, let me ask you, my thing is they're so busy about the steps. I like walking. I think it's great. But my opinion, if you want to burn fat and get your heart healthier, step up the pace. I'm more a fan of monitoring your heart rate than I am of counting steps. See, most of these devices have the heart monitor, Melanie. They just don't use it. And if they don't have it on that specific device, they're not expensive. If you walk and you're increasing your heart rate, you're basically, you're increasing your metabolism. You're getting that sweat going. You're burning more calories than just a small walk. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Now, right now it says that I'm at about 94. I'm standing and I'm marching because I just did my show, so I was sitting for too long.
Right.
So my heart rate's up a little bit because I get excited talking to you, Dr. Friedman. But, you know, I agree with you. I think heart rate is going to be a better indicator of metabolic efficiency and what you're doing. So I think you can kind of track it all, your steps, your heart rate, make sure you're out of breath just a little bit, as we all are when we talk to you. And, you know, then you'll get your best results.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting, you mentioned how minimum, like you said, the 10,000 minimum, they're actually thinking of upping that to 20,000. I was reading the Food and Agriculture Organization in the United States shows that because we eat 1,000 calories more per day than the original 1964 recommendations, we need 20,000 steps per day. However, here's what I love. If you walk at a pace fast and get your heart rate up, you could achieve the same calorie burn by walking or jogging 2,500 steps. So your choice, walk 10 miles or briskly walk or jog 2 miles. As we mentioned, the key here is increasing that heart rate, getting that blood flow and getting a little sweat. It's good to sweat, isn't it, Melanie?
Yeah, it is. And then take a shower afterwards.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go to the second chew on. Move on to our next topic. Millions of people drink decaf coffee for their robust taste without the jitters. But did you know decaf contains caffeine? Consumer Reports studied decaffeinated coffee from popular chains. The average 12-ounce cup of coffee at Starbucks is called a tall. It contains 3 18 milligrams of caffeine. A decaf coffee at Dunkin' Donuts contains a whopping 32 milligrams. And another from Seattle's Best came in at 29 milligrams. Certainly not the caffeine-free choices we've been led to believe. To top it off, during the caffeine process, quite often chemical methyl chloride is used, which has been labeled as a possible carcinogen by the Cancer Institute. What's your opinion there, Melanie, on decaf having as much as 32 milligrams of caffeine?
Well, I think as we've learned on your show a lot, Dr. Friedman, that we're being deceived about a lot of things. And I think if there's a regulation that they don't have to tell us that there's certain amounts of things in other things, or they say decaf, it should be 100% decaf. I don't mind a little caffeine, but right. If I really needed decaf, I actually don't mind a lot of caffeine. But if I really couldn't have it, or it gave me the jitters, or I had heart issues or something, then I would be pissed about that there's some in there and that they're just really not telling us.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know what people don't realize is that the FDA is not required to tell you the amount of caffeine. And that's the key. Labels don't show you the percentages. So pay attention to the type of bean that is used. The Arabica decaf beans contain twice as much caffeine than the Robusta. So if you see it on the label, you know, you want to go with the Arabica if you want, you know, more caffeine. The Folgers and Maxwell House use the lower caffeinated Robusta beans, while coffee houses like the Caribou or Starbucks use the highest caffeinated drinks. So if you're going to Starbucks for decaf, you're going to get more of a buzz than elsewhere. So I guess the key here is to reiterate, there's no such thing as caffeine-free coffee. It's there. All of them have some caffeine for those that have the caffeine sensitivity, which you don't, Melanie. You don't care. But those that do may want to think twice about drinking the decaf. You know, and that's why we may have time. They don't have the clock. We may have time for a little coffee trivia. When you hear, Melanie, mocha java coffee, what does mocha mean to you?
Chocolate.
That's what I
think of. Cocoa.
That's what I thought, right? Me too. Most consumers do. Not so. Mocha is the name of the largest port in Yemen, where all of the African coffee beans are traded and transported. So it doesn't mean chocolate. Now, Java, get ready for this, is the name of the island in Indonesia where Java beans come from. So both dark beans mixed together, that's when they create that name, Mocha Java Coffee.
That's so cool. You know, that's a little bit of a lesson here. See, we're learning lessons from you, Dr. Friedman. That's what we're getting. And I think it's party trivia. It's
party
stuff
trivia.
That you can, yeah, stuff that you can talk about at a party and get people going, really? So what else have you got for us?
Let's see. How much more caffeine does espresso coffee have? What would you think? How much more?
I would say four times more.
Four times? Actually, espresso coffee contains one-third less caffeine than a cup of regular coffee. Less, not more.
Okay, is that because you drink just a tiny little bit of espresso, or is it, if they were in equal amounts, is that the same?
Actually, they say that if you have it really compressed where you don't add the water, that's the key. So you're right, they're actually diluting it by putting more water in there. So if you order that as well. Here's the last one. What color is coffee before it's roasted? See if you get this trivia.
White.
No. Coffee starts out as a yellow berry, changes into a red berry before it's handpicked for harvest. Through water soaking process, the red berry is deshelled and inside the green coffee bean. We're talking, it's a rainbow javolution of colors. So it actually starts out as a yellow berry. So that's kind of interesting little trivia there about your coffee drink. You know, most people drink coffee. It's 85% of the population drink coffee of some sort. So hopefully you got a little trivia now when you're sitting around Starbucks sipping your Java.
I think that's great information, Dr. Friedman. I love your little party trivia.
You know, I'm the trivia king there, so it's always fun. So that's great stuff. Well, that's great. Well, actually, that concludes a great edition of Chew on This. It's been fun, Melanie. And, you know, if you have any more questions that you want us to digest, the latest health headlines, you can send us a request at chewonthis@togoodhealthradio.com. And as you know, podcasts of all of our segments are available at togoodhealthradio.com. Listen to them during that brisk 10,000 step walk or even while you're in the bathtub. Yes, we make great bathtub partners. Stay well, stay tuned. More on To Your Good Health Radio. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh.